Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Katie Wilkins and I'm an author and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where brandy meets bludgeoning, mimosa meets misdemeanor, and port meets prostitution. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
A body is always a shady coroner away.
Hitler won medal!
I know, that like, more women, though, that have had worse Tinder dates than that. So.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Welcome to another episode of Drunk Women Solving Crime. We are joined now by the fantastic comedian Kate Barrett. Welcome,
hi.
Kate.
I'm so excited to be here.
Hooray. We have one question, Kate. Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Yes. So I was living in Toronto. I'm from Vancouver.
Yeah. Mm.
And then I lived in Toronto for 6 years before I moved to London. And I was living in Toronto. I was living in this little studio apartment that was like very miniature. I think it was probably 250 square feet. It was very, very tiny. It was right in the heart of Toronto, but it was good. It was good for like just me. And a friend of mine asked me to take care of her cat. Uh-oh. And I'm a cat lady. Like I deep down, I've grown up with pets. I love, but this one is just an asshole. It's one of those cats that if you're like, here's a treat, it's going to be like, and like scratch you and like take the treat and just be like, fuck off, cat lady. Like, it's just a dick of a cat. Like, this cat is a piece of shit. I reluctantly agreed, like, okay, fine, I'll take care of your cat. So the cat came over and was in with me. It was just sort of, we were existing.
Yeah.
And on, like, the first night, I had to go to this, or I was asked to go to this comedian's fundraiser event thing. And the comedian as well, like the cat, bit of a dick.
Okay.
So I was like, do I want to go to this fucking event? I didn't know if I wanted to go to it. And then I was like, oh, you know what? Fuck it, I'll go to it. And I'll preface this by saying my flat is on the ground level of this apartment block. So it's on the ground level and it's so low to the ground that like my sister never used to buzz in through the front. She used to just go to the back of the building, climb over the balcony. And she's like the like least, she's like the fucking Kool-Aid man. She's the least athletic person in the world. So she was able to climb over the balcony and just knock on the window and scare the shit out of me always. But that's how she came in. So it was very accessible. So I go reluctantly to this comedian's event. I go there. I come back around like 12:30, 1 a.m. And I notice my door is unlocked. It's shut, but it's unlocked. And I was like, did I leave it unlocked? And I couldn't figure it out. But I'm like absent-minded sometimes. I'm like, maybe when I was rushing out, I just, whatever. And then I went in and my light was on. And I'm like, the light on and door unlocked. I don't think I would do that. And then I look at the window and there's like this big kind of L-shaped slash. And I was like, this fucking cat sliced my screen window and broke it and escaped. I fucking hate this cat.
Wow.
And then I was like, I was like, this cat is gonna be just the worst cat ever. And then I look in the closet and the cat's just sitting there like shaking.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh my God, it wasn't the cat.
I love that you're like, she left the light on, she opened my door.
I know. Well, it's a very, the cat's a dick. I don't know. Like, I just assume, I don't know why my head went to like the cat. And it was like a perfect like slash as right. well. Like, so clearly made by
a
knife.
I love picturing a dickhead cat doing that. Like, shoom,
shoom. Just a little just claw, like, right?
It
just,
perfect right angle.
Literally, like, so fucking dumb of me. This is how dumb I am. And then I was like, started freaking, I'm like, oh my God, why is the cat? And then I'm like, wait, and it's like, you could see, you know that like Winona Ryder
yes.
thing with the math that is going around in her head? I'm like, wait, where's my laptop? Where's my, fuck.
Oh no.
And then, the person who broke in, I'm assuming it's a man because, you know, obviously. And he took like my laptop, my charger, whatever for it, like electronics, not like a ton of stuff. Mm. And then just like one duffel bag that I had kind of in my closet that was just full of just shit. Like, you know when you move and you're just like, oh, I need to throw all this shit in just a bag and I'll unpack and I'll organize it when I get there. Yeah, 3 years later, it's still in the fucking bag. There was like pens and hair extensions and tampons and like notebooks. Like, enjoy that, buddy. But I also had some jewelry, not like super expensive, like some jewelry from my grandma on my desk that they didn't take.
Oh.
So, which was like a bit weird, but all my phone chargers and everything were taken. Oh. So I only had like 30% battery.
Huh.
And I had no, and so I called the cops and they're like, no, your house got broken. Oh, okay, we'll get there when we get there. I was like, okay, yeah, cool story. They didn't give a fuck, but the window was broken. So me and this dick cat were like, all right, come here. We're going to be friends tonight. We just like sat there shaking in the corner together. I was too freaked out to sleep because I was like, my window's broken. This person knows he can get in now. I need someone to come fix it. Yeah. The cops don't give a shit right now. And so I was just like in there and my phone was running out of juice and I couldn't get something until like in the morning. I'd have to go out and try to buy a charger or whatever. And the cops eventually came by and they like kind of like dusted for prints or whatever. And the cop was like, is there anything like distinguishing on your laptop? Do you have a Scooby-Doo sticker? I'm like, are you fucking mental? Do I look like I'd have a Scooby-Doo sticker?
Wow.
Did they specifically ask?
Yeah, they literally specifically. Specific. Is that the vibe I give off? Like, is that...
Have they found a computer with a Scooby-Doo sticker?
Yeah, maybe that's like, it. He has one. He's like, here you go. Or is it like, I solved the crime. Scooby-Doo, help me. Like, it's some fucking dumb cop thing.
Wow.
But I know... I totally know, not who it was, but, like, pretty much who it was.
Oh my God.
Well, I don't. But, like, the guy who... I don't, but I do. So, the guy who... It's not the cat. I found that
out. I love that you two bonded, though. You're
we
like,
did.
This is what it took to
afterwards,
bring us
we were like, get the fuck out of here. It was, like, one of those, like... I think it's, like, a war story. We pretend it never happened. But that night in the trenches, we were in it together, cuddling.
Yeah.
And then... So, yeah, nothing really happened. Nothing ever got, like, you know, recovered or whatever, because that just doesn't happen. And then the reason I think I know who it was because the guy who was the caretaker of the building.
He's Scooby-Doo.
And those pesky teenagers. The guy who was the caretaker of the building, he was like a crackhead who lived in the flat above me, directly above me. And he would just like legitimately smoke crack and pass out. And he'd have music blasting all the time. He always had his friends, his crackhead friends, coming around to the back and screaming up at him to the window.
Oh my God.
So they'd always be kind of at the back there and I'd always see them. So I just know it was like one of them because it was like basically my sister and then his friends and him were the only people that came to the back. And so, but like he would blast music and pass out and leave it on. But it wasn't like good music or like rock. It would literally, I'd be pounding on his door being like, turn it down. And he'd be like, oh, what? And he was fucking Katy Perry Teenage Dream blasting. I'm like, you need help. This is rock bottom. It's like, you're singing like Teenage Dream with Katy Perry. So I don't know, but I think it was him. But anyway, that's okay. That was
Did
happened.
You say that to the police? Did they check his apartment and stuff?
No, because like I was like, well, this is like the good dude who lives above me, but they're like, yeah, but like there's no. And then there was security cameras on the side of the building. Okay. Oh yeah, I forgot about this. There was security cameras on the side of the building. So you see a guy coming down the back. So okay. It wasn't that guy, but I think it was one of his friends.
Okay.
See the guy coming down the back. You could see him. And then a few minutes later, like not long at all, he was only in my flat for like 4 minutes maybe. Wow. He comes out holding the duffel bag and the computer under his arm and just walks out. But it was like kind of like a brown haired. Yeah, oh my God, I totally forgot until I can just see it in my head now.
I love that you just thought you were generalizing at the beginning. It was a man. It had to be a man.
And
you
then saw I'm the like, man. No, I saw the man. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they couldn't get a, you know, zoom in on his face, like on the.
No, it was like the same thing when I lived in Toronto. I was working at a gallery and my phone got stolen off the table. We have tons of cameras because we had expensive art in there. And we called the cops and we're like, hey, just so you know, someone just walked in, stole this. And they're like, oh, you want us to look for your phone? Yeah. Why don't we stop looking for the murderers and start looking for your. I'm like, okay, fuck. Like, I know it's just a phone. I'm just saying we have clear footage. But no, nothing can go.
There's a big problem with American cops, obviously, but Canadian cops, they're just fucking sarcastic. It's amazing.
Just think they would turn up on horseback. That's how I picture it.
Yeah.
Not be apathetic.
They're all friendly mounties.
I thought all the men in Canada were gentlemen.
Oh, no. I'll give you a list of my ex-boyfriends. No, absolutely not.
But also, if you've literally got footage of someone taking the phone, you're handing the cops a win. They don't have to do any work.
But what are they going to go knock on every dumpster and be like, hey, you in there? We have a search warrant for your cardboard box. Like, they're not going to, you know what I mean? Like that, like, I think they were just like, he's clearly was like, not well. And that's sad and everything. And if he had mental illness or whatever, but I was like, okay, well, enjoy my tampons and my hair extensions.
Okay, so it's not a simple win.
No, it's just not like a. And I get why the cops are like that, but honestly, I was like, okay, I get it. We don't need to like.
But also, this is like, well, obviously, we need more social funding, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But also, like, we were saying this the other day in a show where, like, we need somebody in between your mum and the police.
Oh, my God,
That can deal with, like, missing phones. Because, sure, the police are on murderers. Fine. Yes. They're busy. But who can do that one? Because you still need somebody to find your phone. Like, that's still a crime.
But there needs to be, like, a police light department.
Yeah. A police. Yeah. Diet police. Yeah. That's what we need. The Diet Coke version of police.
Police zero.
There's zero members so far, but we're hoping one day it'll go up to one person.
You want to solve some soft crimes with me?
Softcore crime. I love that. It's a lot.
It's going to end up being like the volunteer Coast Guard or something. They're not going to get anything done.
Or it'll be some fucking dickhead with a cape that says like, I'm a feminist, let me help you out. And he'll be actually a fucking creep.
Yes. So we always ask too on this podcast, what would you say if you had the perpetrator now?
I'd say, let me see how you use my hair extensions. Like, let me see how you did the updo, girl. I mean, nothing. There's nothing to be said. Yeah. The only thing I felt was a little bit of like, ooh, someone in my space.
Yeah.
Like, I really wanted to clean it afterwards. Yeah. And I never felt the same in that space afterwards. Because I always just felt like, ooh, someone was in here. Like, this dude was in here and he rummaged around through my, I don't know if he like was rummaging through my underwear drawer and like sniffing all of them or whatever. Like, you know, it's just
not in 4 minutes. You can't get through all those pants.
I think with determination and the right attitude, you can do anything you want to do.
And we don't know how many pants Kate had.
Exactly. Maybe I just had one really worn pair.
If anyone wants to test this out at home.
Yeah. See how many, that could be the new like ice bucket challenge. See how many pants you can sniff in 4 minutes.
Raising awareness is something.
It's quite comforting to know that it was only 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Because it is such a violation. And as you say, you don't know what they did.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm kind of like, okay, yeah, like obviously they could have sniffed a lot of pants, but it's still, it's somehow less.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad. Typical of a man, right? Done in 4 minutes. Typical. If it was a woman, she would have really like gone through. I would go like digging in people. I would really, but I'd be like in their
diary.
Business. Oh yeah. That's what I'm more interested in.
Once you're in, your
what sex toys does she have?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I do love the idea of like a female burglar who just goes around trying to find gossip.
Just trying to get the tea. Oh my God, that would actually be a hilarious show.
They all work for the Daily Mail.
Yeah, oh my God.
They go through trash.
Oh yeah, I've just described a sort of trash journalist.
Yes, we have. Tapping phones, am I right?
Shit. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Oops. And, they ruin all the fun.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
You said about with the cat. Is it a boy or a girl?
It was
cat?
A boy.
It was a boy cat. That you and the cat had like survived a war. We're going to be talking about a war.
Oh,
nice. Oh my gosh, that is uncanny.
I love it.
I can't believe it. Just...
There was a full moon this week, so it all makes sense to me.
So we're going to be talking about a World War II intelligence mission with a gruesome detail, you know, as opposed to how lighthearted and fun war normally is.
Yeah.
So to set the scene, we're at war. The year is 1943, and the Nazis have successfully taken over mainland Europe. So this is dark days.
And the Nazis are the bad guys. I just like to clarify who's the good, who am I rooting for in this war? Right, okay, so not the Nazis.
Thank you for asking. I appreciate it.
If it was set today, it would be unclear. Set today, it's a real thing. So, now the thinking was that the Allies would not be ready or able to attack France from the UK until 1944. That's what they think. So
it also depends whether this was in December or not, because that's true. Not that long. If you're like, if it's December 1943, oh, and they're like, we can't do this until 1944. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
but...
we're gonna wait 2 weeks, guys.
Yeah.
No, it's a number of months.
Okay.
They've had some success in North Africa. They want to build on. So bear that in mind. Picture in your minds now a map of Europe. So question: if you,
I'm picturing hard here.
Yeah, I've got like the dad's
army. Mine has
bit.
Like five yeah. countries on them. Like there's.
Yeah.
Portugal's little. Touch of Spain.
Italy looks like a boot. Now, if you were the Allies, where might you want to try and attack the Nazis from?
Ooh.
So basically, name a country in Europe, guys.
Right. Okay. So we're going, if we're the Allies from the UK and the Nazis are in France.
Yeah. Well, they've basically got all of mainland Europe now.
All of mainland Europe. Where are we going in?
Yeah.
Is it one of the islands? Is it like Malta or...
Lovely islands.
Guernsey.
Ooh. Or
Jersey.
Or
the Isle of Wight.
The best island of them all.
The best island of all.
Hannah's from the Isle of Wight.
Oh.
We've not just got a weird obsession.
It's like, wow. Okay.
Yeah, okay, if you've not heard, the Isle of Wight is fucking incredible. They never did any invasions from the island, though. I remember they had a thing called Pluto, which was a pipeline under the ocean. That's what it stood for, which was quite good.
Oh, that's cool.
And they sort of built that. Or I think they got halfway through it. On the Isle of Wight, everything happens like 10 years too late. They got halfway and then were just like, oh, I can't get all the way to France, but it was to get like diesel and shit over to France.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't think it was big enough for soldiers.
All right. Okay, so we've got Island from Taylor. What do you guys think?
Maybe Spain?
Spain.
They went to Ibiza to like party a little bit first, and then they were like, let's do this. They got all pumped up from raving, and then they were like, let's go.
Yeah.
I think to really fox them, Germany is what we will start our invasion in Germany.
In Germany.
So I'm going to give it to Taylor.
Even though it's not right.
it is correct. It's just not specific enough. It was the island. Well, it was Sicily.
Oh.
So basically, there's two possible types. So Sicily is one of the places that would be good. And the other option was the Balkans. Go to Greece. There's a whole thing with, like, Hitler wants metal or something. So, but basically...
Hitler want metal!
Sicily is the most strategically advantageous. It's the fave. It's a good spot. Because war is a lot like location, location, location.
Yeah, it's just like the housing market.
Question.
Hot bunker properties.
Yeah, exactly. Tiny living, everyone.
It's
welcome
really
to
cozy.
My van.
It's cozy. It's got bags of potential. Yeah. It could use some windows.
What is the problem with attacking the Nazis via Sicily?
You'd just be too chill. You'd just be like, shall we have like a Campari before we start? Yeah. Italy is so beautiful. Imagine you
I was
just
gonna
be
say,
like,
I'm too full of attack.
Too full of pasta.
Carb overload.
Wouldn't it just be like they're completely open to like, if you're coming at them they're just like completely open to be seen.
Yeah, you know.
Right away,
what?
They're completely exposed to the Nazis seeing them and catching them.
I'm giving it to you.
Ooh.
Although your answer's
not the pasta one
full.
Is close.
Your answer
too much pasta
was
is not the answer.
Super fun. It's an obvious thing to do.
Okay.
Because it's the best option. Ooh. Very hack. And there's a Churchill quote saying, everybody blood a bloody fool would know that it's Sicily. So they know it's a good spot.
I mean, we didn't know Churchill, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Shame on us.
The Nazis have a shit ton of troops stationed there.
Okay.
Because it would be such a good place to be attacked from. So they outnumber the Allies 10 to 1. Oh, which shit. I don't know if you know about statistics. That's not
bad.
Oh my God. That helps out because I'm a woman and I just don't get numbers. So that's so good.
Also, I don't know about war. Like, is it worse?
Is 10 the bigger number?
Yeah, exactly.
So the Allies want to nudge those odds along. They want to get some of those troops off Sicily. Oh. They can't win this with manpower, so they're going to need subterfuge.
Yes.
Now, question. If you wanted to get the Nazis off Sicily, how would you do it?
Drive them away.
Just sweep them away.
You just shoo! Draw them away somewhere else. Like, draw them, like, yeah. Make a diversion. Diversion. You go look over there, and then you...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like that you tap somebody on the opposite side of the shoulder, and then they look the yes. wrong way. Yes. That's what you do. But, like, on a war scale, which I don't know exactly what that would be, but the equivalent is
Operation
tapping.
Tap.
Tapping an army on the shoulder, but like, that.
Yes, love it. Nice.
I mean, yeah, that does feel weirdly logical.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Feels
yeah.
like the logical thing.
You can't
thing.
Fault that. But don't discount the broom.
The broom is a good guess.
Because if you put these two things together... I was thinking I'd pretend to have a party and then invite them and then they'd all be gone.
Or maybe they do what like the Ukrainian troops are doing, just get on like old school Tinder and match with the soldiers and then they go there and they just get annihilated. You know they're doing that, right?
Oh my God.
Or they were doing that. Ukrainian women were matching wow. Russian soldiers because Russian soldiers were on Tinder.
Fucking
and then
hell.
They would lure them to spots oh saying like, God. We think you guys are really brave and sexy, and then they'd have Ukrainian soldiers waiting to wow. capture them. Brilliant,
oh my
right?
God. God, that's
because
amazing.
Even in the middle of war, men are still like, yeah, I want to get fucked. Just, wow, they're so dumb. They're thinking with their dicks.
Holy fuck.
I do yeah, feel like amazing. I know that's like incredible. More women, though, that have had worse Tinder dates than that. So.
100%.
Oh
all in all, 6 out of 10. Not so bad.
She was hot, but like
he was over 6 feet, so pretty good, you know.
They want to do the old
just picturing this large scale dating thing during that time. That's ridiculous.
Just I'll be wearing the swastika.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh god, yeah. So they want to do a large scale of tapping them on the shoulder, and what they want to do is they want to plant fake documents so that the Allies are planning to attack the Balkans. So the Nazis think that the Allies are trying to attack the Balkans.
Okay.
So they want to attack. They want to plant fake documents so that that's what they think is happening.
Very clever.
P.S. Gonna attack the Balkans.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Yeah, like literally. And then they're hoping that the Nazis will send all the troops from Sicily to yeah. the Balkans, and then they've got more chance when they attack. Now, this isn't a new idea. They've been doing stuff like this, like in other wars, and they did it in the First World War, and
that was a great war.
It was so great. There was this whole thing with like the Trout Memo Plan. So it's not a new idea. It is gruesome. So my question is, what gruesome way did they decide to plant fake documents for the baddies to find?
Oh, like body parts. So they'd been blown apart, but there's a pocket
with the documents. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's gruesome, it suggests it's something to do with a person or an animal.
Yeah, something. Yeah, animal would be sad, and
yeah. Unless it was that cat.
Yeah, unless it was that dick cat.
The army of dick cats.
Yeah, because what you can't just be like, leave it there and be like, oops, drop my war plans, because you're not
yeah,
that fucking
they won't
stupid.
Believe that. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, body parts would look like, oh, one of our guys got to them already. Oh, they didn't notice this.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I'd okay. be amazing in this.
Or like
situation.
They kill, yeah. Or they, yeah. Who would you kill? You'd have to kill someone who would be like, or have someone, right? Do they kill one of their own people?
I don't know where they get the body parts, Kate.
Yeah.
I'm the macro level thinker. These details are.
You're not a details
the
person.
The minions take care of those
okay.
details.
Okay, well, good macroing, it is a corpse.
Oh.
This has been done before, but these guys really leaned into this whole we're going to plant stuff on a corpse. So we are talking about Operation Mincemeat.
Oh,
I don't know right. if people, because there is a film about this, and there is also a musical about this.
Oh,
the musical,
of course there fucking is.
The musical is brilliant. I've seen it.
Do you know, I've seen the film and I wish it had more song and dance in it.
Oh my God. You see, I watched the film after the musical, and the film, I was very disappointed because the musical is so joyful.
And the film really takes it rather seriously.
Did you see this recently?
Yes. A month or so ago.
Yes. Just because I can remember you saying how good it was.
It's
and
so
it's
good.
made me want to
see it. A musical about like a corpse with war documents.
I know.
I can't imagine it being joyful, but I mean, I guess most musicals are kind of fucked up.
Like, there's like one song that's quite poignant that's like, oh, and then the rest of it is like...
It's like the carb song, all about the carbs.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's attacking, it's just, it's really...
It's punching in the right directions.
Yeah, yeah, and it's fascinating. Yeah. And
with song.
It's like, you would think Colin Firth looking broody would be a good film. No.
Oh,
not in this instance.
And also, despite the fact I've seen the film, you might notice that I really retained fuck all because I didn't get any of those
showing how good the film is. Yeah. Obviously,
I watched it on a plane, and I put it on after the point where I knew that I would have to land before I got to the end of the film, and I was like, I know we won World War II, so it's fine. I don't need to see the end, but so I don't know necessarily the ending.
Okay,
so let's see how I do.
All right then. So we've got this Ewan Montague. There's this Chomon. Oh, I can't pronounce this guy's name, even though I've heard it said.
Call him Sea Dog.
Anyway, bunch of people. This guy Bevan's in charge. He's reported. So Ian Fleming's running around. He's actually not a part of this team, but he's in the MI6 as well at this time, and he's not officially on the project. So they decide they want to make it look like a high-ranking officer has crashed a plane and then drowned and washed up in Spain with some top-secret plans in his briefcase.
Nice.
They chose Spain because it was supposedly neutral and had pledged to share information with everybody. So they thought that was a good route to get this to the Nazis.
That was like me at school. I was just like, I would tell anyone the gossip. in an attempt to make any friends.
So first they need a corpse, ideally one that's drowned, because if there's an autopsy, there's kind of going to be a specific... They don't want anything to give this away. And you've got to be discreet if you want a corpse for a top secret undercover mission. If I've said that once, I've said it 100 times.
I mean, yeah.
This is going to be a weird Gumtree listing.
Wow. Well, that is my question for you guys. How or where did they get a body?
Ooh. I should think it would be disrespectful to try to recruit it from troops, because obviously they're dealing with so much death, but surely you would not have the permission to use somebody's body in that manner if they haven't given permission.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, was there like a freakish clause when you
I bet there is, I will use my body. For an American military, I don't know who this is, the British though, right? Mm-hmm. But I bet even in today, I bet it's like the military has the right to use my body.
Yeah.
And like whatever, sign off to all of that.
Maybe. Ooh. It's like a donor card on your license, but much more serious.
Yeah, interesting.
How would they, I feel like they would find like a vagabond.
Okay.
I feel like they would go with like a vagabond, just like someone no one would miss or no one would think of. But then that might be hard because if they're like too skinny or old or whatever, they wouldn't look like they were like in the service. Although if they look like a high-ranking officer, they might be. Those guys are just little office bitches with soft hands. So maybe that's like...
But yeah, you're right. It's got to be in the right age range.
Age and like, has to have the right... Yeah. It's got to have the right vibe to them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but that's a really good point. And they have to find it at a certain time.
If you found some like fat old Santa looking man, they'd be like, okay, this wasn't... Although church don't like... Oh.
I don't know whether they just started hanging around like a swimming pool with a wave machine. And they were just like, shut sooner
rather than
later.
Like, in theory, kill somebody for this purpose, but it's war and I wouldn't put it past anyone to not do something.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys are actually all of you on the right tracks.
With wave machine?
Okay, so they don't kill anyone.
Okay.
This Montague knows a shady coroner guy.
Body is always a shady coroner away.
There's this quote anyway saying that there's no shortage of bodies, but none they could take because...
Is the book called The Coroner Shop?
Nice.
Yeah. Oh my God, so good. That's great.
And
turn that into a musical.
I got bodies, so many bodies for you.
They're honestly,
comes at a price, but they're so nice.
There's a really uplifting song about the dodgy coroner.
Oh, nice.
There aren't all coroners dodgy. There's a reason they have to hire more females at funeral homes than males, because exactly the reason you think.
They gotta stop them.
Yeah, they like, because men are great.
I wish they would follow through on that in every area of the world. There'd be like way less problems.
Yeah.
They're worried they were going to have to do a Birkin hair. That's the quote. But they get this Spilsbury guy. He's dodgy. So he said that with air crashes, people die of shock, not drowning. So it wouldn't matter because the lungs of the corpse...
Yeah, so the lungs wouldn't have to be filled with, like...
Yes.
Right, as fluid.
It would look similar in
as long as, like, his facial expression is like...
Yeah.
And also, what was on their side was because Spain was Catholic, they really didn't like doing post-mortems unless they absolutely had to.
Oh.
All of these things you just have to take into consideration. I would not...
I know.
Even think about that.
It's when you're mad, shopping isn't it? For bodies.
When I'm shopping for bodies, this is
think
good.
Think about
take
the context.
Notes. Take notes.
But it's like what you said about the hands being kind of like hands that aren't a soldier's hands. You know,
yeah.
They're kind
yeah.
of
yeah.
like shit like that. You just don't. And also, if they had anything like, if they were flat-footed or something, they wouldn't be allowed to be in the army. Like
yeah.
all of this shit, they could give them away.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah,
this
yeah.
guy's blood pressure's way too high.
Drunk women solving crime.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
So anyway, there's all these rules, but they've got a shady guy. And then basically a homeless person dies and no one claims the body for burial. Now, this body later gets called the man who never was for a very long time. But we actually do have his real identity some years later, which okay. we'll get to in a bit. But he died of poison. And it's thought that he had eaten some food that had been poisoned with rat poison. So that's very, very bleak. So it's not drowning, but they think that they can still make it work. And they give him this whole new identity. So question, what new name do they give him for a British officer?
I'm just leaning into it.
Reginald, a series of noises.
But then it's got to be some old, like, Percival Vaughn
yeah.
Fairweather or
Butterfield.
Something like that. Yeah.
Clambermill Butterfield. Okay. The third,
exactly. Yes, yes.
I love it.
Or they call him something like... British McBritish or something.
It's gonna be something super like Percival Vaughn Cumberbun Sausage or something.
Gutterfield.
Okay. They go for in the end William Martin.
Oh
very yeah. dull.
Okay.
Yeah. Probably smarter.
Yeah. What?
So he's Major William Martin. They make him a Royal Marines officer.
I love that you kept saying Vaughn, which is German. Hang on.
Also, like, what's annoying is, like, very few things rhyme with Martin as well. I'm thinking about this musical constantly. I want no pardon, Martin.
Martin?
Farton?
Farton Martin?
Yeah.
That's all I got, guys.
I stand corrected. There's at least two.
So they give him this, like, whole backstory to make him seem real. Question, okay. What kind of stuff did they do to make him seem real? And I can give you a clue if you want.
Tattoo.
Ooh, okay. Sorry.
Can you tattoo a dead body?
Sure.
Oh, isn't it bring it brings up the blood though, isn't it?
No. Nope. I don't know.
I think it'd be a really janky looking tattoo. I'll tell you what, we'll kill you and then we'll tattoo you and we'll let you know if it looks fucked up.
I don't think it would look any worse than my existing tattoo.
Oh god. Do you have a tramp stamp? Is that why?
No. Well, does it count if it's to one side?
Yeah. I would say. I would say if it's a bullseye above your asshole, then yeah, it counts as like a tramp stamp.
Does it count if it's to one side? Well, God bless you.
And you just have a cross-eyed tattooer and they aimed.
I feel like it's higher than tramp. Never mind. Okay.
I think, for example, did they put a wedding ring on him?
Yeah, that's good.
So you're thinking along the right lines.
So like a little, because soldiers back in the day used to keep their wives or girlfriends like, pictures in
a
their hats or
yes.
or whatever, or like some sort of photo
there
of a
go.
Woman, I would say.
Yes.
Or letter from a woman.
Yes.
Something like that.
Perfect.
That said, I hope you enjoy invading the
yeah.
Baltics of everyone.
Very real. You're such a big man. Last night was so good for me. Made me come 18 times, just like all the men.
That is excellent. You are on the money.
But that is essentially what they said in those letters, but it was slightly flowery in language. Yeah.
Forsooth.
Yeah.
Old school porn. Yes. Letter.
Yeah, you guys are absolutely on the money. They give him a sweetheart back home called Pam. They're just engaged.
Pam.
And love they Pam. Basically, yeah. These officers went on a pub crawl shopping spree, bender around London, so they could get all these receipts to put in his wallet.
Oh, that's so, why they did that.
Yeah.
We're going to go fuck some hookers and drink some beer so we can get receipts for this guy.
They called it.
In the name of our country.
Asking a sex worker for a receipt. That's brilliant. Can I get the receipt, actually?
I bet sex workers have, like, tap machines now.
Oh, I should hope so.
Yeah. For sure they do. I've seen people who are, like, on the street with them before.
Yeah.
Like, especially in Vancouver, they have them. You're like, oh, I don't have any. And they're like, I have something to tap on. And you're like, well, fuck.
Wow.
Yeah. They can literally take Apple Pay now.
I settle to the rescue.
Yeah.
They call it wallet litter. And so they've got all these, they're making it like a big send off in London before he left.
Right? I would think that would look more fake though. Like a real soldier isn't going to be like, oh, let me not empty out my receipts out of my, even when you go on a holiday, you know, you like take the receipts out of your bag and stuff.
Also, like this guy should not be paying for his hen do. Like he should not, right? He shouldn't have the receipts. Yeah. It should be the best man.
Or like a matches.
But that is sloppy soldiering. I agree. Like you'd have a clean wallet.
No, because I think he's taken it with, because he's, you know, it's literally that was his last night or whatever. Although some of them are from the week before. But
okay.
Then he's got, so he's got this briefcase.
I see where they're going with it. I'll allow it.
I was like pulling apart this thing that I think probably solved the war. Well, I don't believe there are receipts.
I think that's kind of, I don't know.
He had a prep receipt in there.
They're trying too hard. So he had a receipt of an engagement ring, a photo of his sweetheart back home, who was actually it was a photo of one of the women called Jean Leslie, who is one of the people that worked on it.
Yes, Jean Leslie.
So there's a love letter from the sweetheart. They wrote that. The MI6.
Oh my God, was it men writing women?
Typical.
Well, in the musical, it's this woman, and it's a very poignant song. Anyway.
But does she handwrite? Because you can tell, you know how you can look at writing and be like, that was written by a man. I can tell, like, the handwriting. Men always write in, like, all caps and stuff. Like, it's the handwriting done by
like
a woman.
Angry man. No,
yeah, just angry man.
It's like, no, it's no, she, yeah, because they've got this. Women working on this as well.
Okay, good.
And yeah. So
I'm interested again.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's the secret mission document. There's a letter from Lord Louis Mountbatten to Admiral Cunningham. There's a St. Christopher.
Okay, those sound more like the names I made up.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Those are the guys in charge. Yeah. Theatre tickets, medal, keys, watch, matches, stamps, cigarettes. Now, what question? What temperature?
What question am I going to ask you?
Uh-huh. What temperature do they want to keep the body at?
Oh.
Do you mean like before it goes off to war?
Yes. Oh. I will accept before and during.
Ooh.
I don't really know what temperature we're supposed to be, but like I don't know. Because the body would be preserved in the morgue through freezing. But then, I don't know. I don't know how you tell.
I would think on the cooler side, so I'm going to go with 20 Celsius.
Okay.
Or colder. That's not that cold.
That feels not that cold.
Yeah, but a body temp is like 30.
We're like 37 or something.
37.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course I take my temperature and then panic when it's 37 or 38. Yeah.
Just because I'm worried if they freeze it, it's not going to defrost in time.
Well, good instinct. They can't freeze it because that would be too obvious in an autopsy. So freezing is not an option. But if it decays too much, that will also ruin the plan. They want to keep it at 4 degrees.
Okay. 4?
That's more sensible
like
than what
I said. Like a fridge, basically.
Yeah. You want your guy to be chilling on the beach, like getting a tan.
Lukewarm body.
Yeah. Mm.
There's this bit where like his feet get frozen and they have to try and thaw him out. But it's fine. They manage to...
Oh my goodness.
Smug boots.
They put him. Yeah,
exactly.
They put
Lug
him
boots,
in this.
Dyson hair dryer.
That's why they're invented.
I got you.
Oh.
They put him in this like special fridge canister thing with like dry ice, and it's not a fridge, but it's loaded onto this
HelloFresh, basically.
Yeah.
It's Hello like this Corpse. Canister, which is it gets filled with dry ice and sealed up, so there's no oxygen, so that helps preserve.
For a second, I'm like, oh no, wait,
he can't breathe in there.
That's good.
So the
also dry ice when they open it, it's gonna be really
yeah just the effect ice. Of it. I'm picturing glitter bomb like, and the whole thing.
They better have done something with that in the musical. If not, I'm never going to see it.
Well, you'll have to go and see it to find out.
Wow.
So anyway, they get bombed twice, but they still make it. They say a psalm, and then they drop the... They're looking at all, like, the tides and stuff, and they drop the body off.
Wow.
They push it into the sea off the coast of Huelva. I don't know if I pronounced that right. Question, is this part of the plan of success?
Ooh.
Drop it.
Sounds like a no.
Yeah, I just feel like the fact that you're asking that's probably a no. Like, question, do you think what you just did there was right? No.
No, I reckon maybe they need to move the body one more time.
Because, like, tides and everything are get pulled out. Or what if he sinks?
Yeah, like, yeah, that's hard to...
Or what if some other dumb, like, ally soldier is like, what's this? I got you. And then they rescue it.
No, not again.
Because only, I'm assuming, like, a few people were in on this plan, right? Yeah, no one else could know.
You know, they are constantly in danger from that. That's really interesting that you say that.
So... I just think, like, the body doesn't wash up, maybe. Do they have to go and get it and, like... But is it too obvious? I'm, like, rolling it onto the beach and then they run away and you see the footprints in the sand or something.
Yeah, I feel like... Because they've probably never done anything like that, there's something they're overlooking in terms of what would happen if you put a body into the water. What's going to, like, just the weight of it, like, the waves.
Because the documents are where? Is it in a briefcase or is it, like, on him?
Briefcase.
So what are they, like... Put a ribbon around his hand to tie his hand onto the briefcase?
Good question.
So yeah, how does that stick with him, I'm wondering?
Yeah.
Because it's...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because they're trying to make it look like he was flying and crashed
his plane. So that would be
drowned.
But they're counting on both to wash up, though.
Basically. I don't think they are counting on the plane to wash up.
No, but the body and the briefcase.
Yeah, the body and the briefcase. Mm. I asked this question as a mislead. This bit goes well.
Oh!
It washes up. It gets found by a local fisherman. It gets taken to, by the Spanish soldiers, handed to a naval judge. That's exactly what they wanted to happen. Then there's all these pre-scripted sort of diplomatic cables being sent between everyone because the British know that their messages are being intercepted and they're encrypted, but they know that the Germans have cracked the code, but the Germans don't know that they know that they know that they've cracked the code.
Oh my God.
You don't know that I know that you know that she knows that I know that you fuck my cousin.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a whole thing with spies.
Yeah.
It's like going off. So basically the Allies are trying to act like they really want the body back on the
right cake. But like in a coy cute way.
Yes, exactly.
But what if the Spanish had been like, okay, yeah, fair play, it's your body, and they'd be like, oh no, play, no, JK yeah. You guys keep it.
Exactly.
Okay, that's it. I got it.
So they're trying to give this impression this briefcase is very important and they need to get it back. And they want this Hazelden guy to get it back for them. And then there's this autopsy scheduled because they have to do autopsies if it's the cause of death is important. And it's scheduled at midday on the 1st of May. And this Hazelden guy manages to be present. And he's super worried that these two Spanish doctors are going to find out that this is a 3-month-old corpse.
Oh. So it was 3 months old.
Yeah.
Oh.
Question, how does he try to put them off?
Does he, like, change the calendar to 3 months ago?
Yeah, he turns back their clocks. He grabs their iPhone and changes the date and time.
Try to put off them from doing an autopsy?
Yeah.
Does he push the
push the thing? Religion thing, I bet.
I was going
to
say.
I bet they try to be like, this is really disrespectful to him.
Yeah, you can't desecrate this body.
I would think it would be something like that. Like, they would just try to push that. Because then, if you're saying the whole reason at the beginning was the Spanish were really religious and they wouldn't do it, then try to push that. Like, it would be disrespectful. He's already a fallen soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yeah.
You guys, it's even more simple than that. He says it's lunchtime.
What?
He suggests lunch. He says that in the heat of the day and the smell of the corpse, the doctors should bring the post-mortem to a close, sack it off, and go and have lunch.
What?
Is that... That's what the war was, like, decided on.
Wow.
That these guys were like, guys, let's grab a burger and talk this out.
Yeah.
This is crazy. You can't cut open a body on an empty stomach.
Yeah. So they,
wow.
But it works. They agree. So they sign the death certificate for Major William Martin for asphyxiation through immersion in the sea.
Wow.
And then it gets released by the Spanish and Major Martin. Oh, so the body gets buried, but we've still got the...
docs.
The briefcase. The Spanish are being really, really good about the briefcase and they're not giving it back to the Germans. And they're kind of saying...
No!
They're kind of saying, like, hey... you know, you guys can have this, like, we want to help you out a bit. And then the, without being suspicious, that Hazelden and everyone have to be like, oh, that's so kind of you, thanks, like, oh, no. Great, I definitely want it. Well, there's like German sympathizers, there's like everybody going on. So to start with, no one's opening the letters properly, they're just like photographing the other contents, and then finally they do. But they try and make it look like they haven't, with the wax seals haven't been read. Question: how do the allies know that they actually have been read? Because they eventually do get the briefcase back,
and it still looks like the letters are sealed.
Yes.
So they need to figure out whether
But they know that they haven't.
Oh.
It's something that the allies did to the letters that they could then check.
See, this would be easy if it's like, if it's my mother and she gets my mail, it's definitely been opened, if it, even if it's resealed. I know that for a fact. How do you know with like a wax seal and stuff? Does it leave...
This was in the shitting film and I can't remember. Because there was a bit where I went, oh, that's clever.
And then they have to like dust for fingerprint. But then, no, they would be really careful. Would they be opening it with like tweezers and stuff? Or they like, they all went for lunch. So did it have like meatball fingerprints on it or something like that? Death by delicious sub.
I don't know.
How do you...
Is it something like, I don't know. Again, now I've seen it, it's annoying.
Or like a hair, if there was like a
like
hair.
Like an eyelash or
like
an
eye.
Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, shit.
It's an eyelash.
Wow. You got that without having seen the film, so bother.
They planted an eyelash and it was gone when they got the letters back.
Oh.
So they knew that it had actually been read.
I thought, I'm so dumb when you said that. I thought it was like the Germans who read it were blinking so furiously over the letter that all their eyelashes just scattered down in, because they were like batting their eyes so much at it. I didn't even think that they planted one. Oh, that makes more sense.
So this is the big question. Does the plan work?
I mean, I feel like because it was made into a musical,
yeah.
They're not at the end of the musical. It's like, well, and then we lost.
We tried.
We did it, guys. What a failure. I feel like, so I'm going to go out on a limb and say, yeah.
Okay.
The success was the fun we had along the way.
Yeah, exactly. And the lunch we ate while we were there. I still can't get over that they like just did it with lunch. That was the distraction. During a war, that's how much you can get someone just to change their mind.
It's amazing. And I know that would work with me.
Guys, cheeky shawarma, let's go. Like, come on. Yeah, I think success.
Yeah.
If it's a movie and a musical, I'm going to say yeah.
You have good instincts. It was the Nazis moved the troops off Sicily. It's way easier for the Allies to attack. Everyone gets loads of prizes. Monty, who writes a book. The repercussions are brilliant for the Allies. Question, what year was the real name of the man who never was discovered?
Oh.
Ooh.
I meant it was like recent. Because don't they keep that stuff like all sealed up?
Yeah.
Like for a really long time.
Mm.
I'm going to guess like really like 2005.
Okay.
Or something like that. Like something quite recent in the last like 20 years, I would say.
Yeah. 2005.
I was going to say the 1980s.
1980s.
Or do they have
no reason at all.
Yeah. Something, yeah.
Yeah, it's because the like Enigma Code stuff and Alan Turing, that only came out.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, because that came out sort of relatively recently, doesn't it? And it feels like it might be the same. But when was that? I watched the film.
I watched the Turing one too, Enigma. Yeah. But when did that come out?
I was on the Isle of Wight and it was before I moved to London. So
okay.
Over 7 years ago. I'm going to go 15 years ago. So I'm going to go 2000.
Is it like it has to get declassified after a certain amount of time?
Yeah.
So this was 1943.
But they also didn't know the identity, so this isn't just declassifying information, it's actually finding out
it's
the identity of somebody,
too,
right?
Yeah.
Right, exactly. It's not just the plant, you're right, yeah.
So maybe they wouldn't even have to keep it secret.
Yeah.
So
it's somebody that's able to do...
So we have 2005, we have the 80s.
I'm gonna go 2012.
2012. In that case... Oh, I can't do the maths. The correct year is 1996.
Oh.
Okay. So that's about 50 years after the war, isn't it? Is that math?
Yeah, that's math.
That's the end of the musical.
It is. It's 50 years after the war. Almost exactly. So this historian called Roger Morgan uncovered evidence in the Public Record Office that the identity of the corpse was a Welsh man named Glyndwr Michael. And he was born in Abergwaed in Monmouthshire.
Abergoyd in Monmouthshire.
Thank you. In South Wales, before leaving the town inn, he had part-time jobs as a gardener and labourer, and he ended up in London homeless, and that's obviously how he ended up in the situation.
At least he got that really good stag do, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, he had a blast.
Did he get, like, awarded, like, a medal of...
Yeah.
Honor or his family get anything for this?
Well, yeah, so, the crime is that they actually had never got permission from family.
Oh.
They illegally obtained a body.
And, okay.
But they didn't know who he was, right?
No, but they also didn't try to find out very hard.
Right.
So he was only 34 when he died. But basically, they've done all this stuff since to, like, honour him and the family. And the body was reburied with, like, full military honours.
Yeah, I would think the family would be entitled to, like, a war pension or something. Like, as though he was a soldier. Like, they've used his body like that.
Yeah.
Like, a Medal of Honour or whatever. And
they did. And then a new inscription was added to the gravestone. So they tried to make it right in 1998. Mm. And the granddaughter of Bevan...
Which was Bevan?
One of them. Or she might even be the granddaughter of Montague. But anyway, she said that the musical was more like the real person than the film, because the film made it look all serious. And, like, well, she did, this is my words, not hers, but the film was, like, really, like, made it all, like, Sorkin-esque with, like, people, you know. But the real guy actually had a, like, a real sense of, like, gallows kind of sense of humour, but, like, also a real sense of humour, and saw everything as a bit of a game. And
it does really depend on who, whether it's Bevan or the other guy, though, this is based on her saying, do you know what, I think this was more like my actual grandfather, who was the corpse, because obviously his sense of humour isn't coming into this story at all. Like, I think he was a bit of a laugh. I reckon he wasn't even dead.
No, they're all... So Bevan and Montague were the people in MI6.
I get you, okay.
I'm so sorry. I didn't answer your question properly. I didn't understand what you were asking.
Right, but they were like, this guy, you know, they weren't all kind of po-faced and
Colin Firth in the film is, like, really dry. And that's not... This guy had a real, like, irreverence, because do that job, you kind of have to...
Well, even think of that is you probably have to have a bit of a weird... Weirdness to you.
Hmm. Yeah.
I wonder if he's got any wacky ideas to win the war. Let's get him in.
Yeah.
Let's raise a glass to... Yeah.
All of them, I suppose.
Cheers. Well done, lads.
To the eyelash.
Drunk women solving crime.
Now, I have a listener crime that we need to solve, and here it is. Okay, so someone has written in and they said, a few years ago, me and my friends went into Comic Con in Liverpool. It was fun. Lots of memorabilia, collectibles, and odd people wearing odd costumes. One of the most memorable was some fella dressed head to toe in a Scooby-Doo style ghost costume.
Wow. It's come full circle.
This is the full moon again.
Yeah, it's the full moon. There's something.
We had a fabulous time and spent some money. We used cash because we weren't sure if the vendors would have working card machines, but still had my purse with the card in. This was on Saturday. Then the Monday after, I got a call from my bank to say my card might have been stolen. I told them that it hadn't, and I'd just use it to book some tickets to a gin tasting. It turned
out... I love this person's life.
This is a great life.
They are really great.
I guess it's
great,
Comic-Con Saturday and Sunday, gin tasting Monday.
Scooby-Doo flair.
Might do zorbing on Tuesday. I don't know.
It turned out that the card had been cloned and someone had tried to buy some designer clothes from Debenhams in Manchester. It got sorted, but tell me, did it get cloned at Comic-Con or was it the Mr. Scooby-Doo ghost?
Scooby-Doo, wasn't Scooby-Doo just dressed up at Comic-Con, or wait, what?
It was somebody was dressed head to toe in a Scooby-Doo style ghost costume.
Right. And then they got close enough to clone? What did the Scooby...
Well, I guess... Because also, how does that work? Because if they didn't use the card at all at Comic-Con, I don't see how it... Because people put machines on, like, cash points and stuff, don't they? Or they can...
Yeah, I got my card cloned in Brixton once and I used a cash point.
Right.
And it took, like... My card did not come out for about 7 minutes.
Oh, really?
And I kept standing there going, I've only got one fucking card.
Like, I always pull at the... Every time I take cash out, I pull at the thing because often it'll come out, they have skimmers over them. So we just yank them first and then you can feel if they're loose or not and they skim. I look paranoid, I feel, but I'm like, whatever.
That's,
yeah.
See, I always thought, like, you just had to, like, cover your pin, but this is not even what we're dealing with.
No,
is it?
It's the skimmers, like, that read it. But you have those machines now that can go up against somebody and take their card information, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's what this could be, right? Yeah. Somebody was just close and was able to do it that way.
Although it took so long for mine to be cloned that I kind of, I don't know whether you can you clone a card so quickly. I know you could probably go around with an Apple Pay thing, just sort of like pushing it on people's
and then
legs.
And that just does like a charge.
Wow.
And just like charge
them
100 quid or
something.
But if they actually went to Debenhams to go shopping.
They had the details.
It's just terribly sad that it's Debenhams.
I know.
Like, what can I do now that I have this money? I'm going to shop at Debenhams?
I know. I just feel bad for the criminal. Like, they have bad taste and they need to up their game.
Like, they bought designer stuff.
Okay.
I need the name of the designer that they bought. I'm going to say designer in quotation marks here because I don't know. There. I think it happened. So they took cash out.
Calvin Klein.
Yeah, they only spent cash at Comic-Con. But somebody could have still cloned it, as you were saying, being close by with.
But we don't know if they got the cash out at Comic-Con.
Yeah, if they got the cash out, that's what I'm saying. It could be skimmed there.
Skimmed
because they used the card there. Because there's all these, like, that'd be the perfect place to do it. Just a bunch of nerds with loads of cash.
Yeah.
And go up. The nerds are the ones with the money.
Yeah. Well, so are we putting it on that or on the Scooby-Doo ghost?
I feel as though that was a left field suggestion there.
Yeah. I'm still unsure of how close a Scooby-Doo ghost would get to you.
I kind of really want to unmask the Scooby-Doo ghost.
That ghost was just trying to have a good day.
Yeah.
Leave the ghost alone.
Okay. Well, then we're blaming it on a scammer who we do not know.
I think the cash point where they got the cash out to spend at Comic-Con.
Okay.
That's what I think too.
Yeah.
I think it's someone who preys on the people at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Who's just like, all these guys are going to be taking cash out to buy at the vendors. Exactly. So I'll put this up and I'll skim off everyone.
Yes.
That's what I feel.
All right. That is what happened. I hope that helps.
Do we know what happened? Or no, we just solved it.
No, we have now solved it.
No, we've just changed somebody's
Should
life.
Should I be a cop? This is great. I can totally do this.
But we have enough time now. Kate Barron, what are you up to? Where can we find out more about you? What do you want to plug?
I am everywhere and nowhere all the same time. I'm everywhere. I just gig all the time, loads of places. So social media is just the best place to find me on. It's _, which I have to have an underscore at the beginning of my Instagram handle because I'm a cunt. I don't know. Am I allowed to say that on here?
Sure. Only if it's about yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I'll call you guys it, but like after when I go home and I'm like bitching to someone else. It's like _ Kate Barron. I'm on like TikTok, Twitter, if that still exists by the time this comes out. Facebook, all the things. Kate Barron, I put up my shows. I run podcasts. I have two podcasts myself.
Yeah, tell us
clips.
About that.
So I have one that's called Text Me in the Morning, and it's about dating and relationships, and I fight with a male comic on things like who should pay for a first date, situationships, porn. But you don't get to decide the side of the fight that you're on.
Ooh.
We flip a coin, and then we have to debate it.
Oh, interesting.
And then I have another one called You've Changed, where I talk to people in the industry, like influencers and models and comedians and stuff, about a moment in their life that has changed them. Because I myself have gone through like loads of change, having moved countries, and I lost 13 and a half stone, and I've gone through like loads and loads of stuff. So I like talking to people, and people open up about getting arrested or death or crimes or whatever. So it's very interesting. So
Sounds
those are
amazing.
My two podcasts.
Yeah.
Right.
Sounds great. Give it up for Kate Barron.
Thanks for having me. This was great.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks for joining us.
I want to go find a dead body and plant some shit on it now.
Don't we all?
Yes.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter. On Facebook and Insta, we are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acast, and thank you for listening. Bye!